We'd like to welcome each and every individual to the Vision Project. Hi, my name is Mark Borsma. I'm president of Synergy Solutions. I'll be your executive coach for today's group coaching session. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or you can call, if you're out calling outside the U.S., you can call 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. This session, this mastermind group, is really kind of sort of, in a way, focused on young men in their 20s and 30s, but they're not on. And so the ladies have joined, and so, you know, I'm not sure what we do about that. You know, so guys, if you're listening to the rebroadcast of it, you know, I didn't even know what to tell you. You know, discipline, good to great, discipline people, discipline thinkers, discipline in taking action. There's a lot of work that I'm doing on different dimensions on how to take oneself mentally to other dimensions, to new dimensions. And so Einstein said you can never solve a problem in the dimension that it was created in, which means that we have to go to, if we want to eliminate the problems that we have in our life, we have to jump to new dimension. And this is where I believe, my theory is, that a lot of people don't want to solve their problems because they think, as we get older, like when you're a small child, you say, I can't wait till I get to be a teenager. Then when you're a teenager, you're like, I can't wait to go ahead and move out of my house. And then I can't wait to get married. And then when you get married, you're like, I can't wait to have kids. And then once I have kids, it's like, I can't wait, you know, for my kids to grow up. And it's like all of a sudden you start to recognize in life that whatever I'm in now, when I go to the next dimension, it's going to get worse. And so I think people level off and say, okay, I'm going to just try to survive in the dimension I'm in, not really solve any of my problems. All I'm going to do is try to minimize the pain in that particular, you know, in my particular dimension. I'm not going to try to solve it. I'm just going to try to minimize the pain. Ginger Ann, what would you like to accomplish today? Are you on?
Yeah, sorry. I had to be on mute. I'd like to accomplish how to juggle all the balls in the court that I have going on, and they keep getting more, and I don't know how to balance them all.
So what I would do is I would recommend that you make a list of all the things that are out of control, or all the pain in your life, you know, or all the challenges that you're facing, all the pain, all the challenges, all of the, you know, any of the frustration, anything that's causing you pain, list it all out. And then go ahead and say, okay, of these 20 different things, what do I have control over? And
okay,
what don't I have control over? And then the things you have control over, you say, okay, prioritize which of those. It's what we call the Apache helicopter principle. So the Apache helicopter, my understanding, is the technology on that stuff is just amazing. It can analyze 200 different threats that are coming against it or opportunities, and it prioritizes those threats and those opportunities and takes out the one that's the most fatal first, and then the second one and the third one. So it analyzes and says, okay, you know, there's a tank, that's a threat, I got to wipe that out. There's a guy there with a machine gun, not good, but not as big as a threat. So it's almost like learning to think in that way and then making sure that you don't waste any energy at all on things that you have no control over. And then, you know, my philosophy has been over the last number of years is if I'm going to laugh about it in the future, why not laugh about it now? I mean, why, you know, why go ahead and miss the moment? Why don't I just enjoy it now? Why don't I laugh about it now? And so I think some of those combination of things, you know, are beneficial. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, except for sometimes pregnancy hormones don't necessarily let you out to, you know, do that type of thing, but I'll try.
Yeah, and that's something that's, that would be another very intriguing topic. I don't know if I'm brave enough to record that conversation or not. Maybe not. Yeah, that's, and we only have 9 more minutes, and so I don't know that we'd have the time to do that. I think from an emotional perspective, from looking at emotions, I think also listing down and saying, okay, if I'm in a state that is emotionally upsetting, do I want that to, I mean, is that painful to me? Yes. Okay. Do I want more pain? No. Okay. And so emotions in a high stress situation, emotions can often make a bad situation worse. And so it's the ability to control the emotions and say, you know, and say, okay, this is how I'm feeling. These are my emotions. But to go gain control over those emotions, to say, I mean, I am not going to go ahead and make this situation worse by adding emotions to it. So how do I control the emotions? It was interesting. Ruth King, she owns a TV production firm in, I think it's Atlanta, Georgia. And I was flying down there a number of years ago every month to do a number of different series. And she and I went on a walk one time, and she said, I have a weird question to ask of you. And I said, okay. And she said, what happens when you get out of control? And I looked at her, and I'm like, I don't know. Why do you ask? She's like, just curious. And so what she saw is she saw the energy that I had, the energy and passion, and then the insight to say that energy or passion focused in the wrong direction would be very destructive. It would be very, very bad. And I had said to her, I said, you know, I don't remember the last time I was out of control. And so to whom much is given, much is expected. To a lot of power, there needs to be a tremendous amount of control. And so I think that is true. I think with pregnancy, it's preparing for, you know, children. And with children, there's a tremendous amount of discipline and control that's necessary in those things. Teresa, what would you like to accomplish today?
Well, that's actually very helpful, too.
Cool.
I'm struggling with a lot of that, so I think I'll start writing my list out. But I guess I was wondering, like, if I'm being trained and growing to adapt to potentially different personality energies, how can I best work with people around me and help prepare them and myself for the consequences of that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like to go ahead and give people heads up warning, you know, when I'm changing personality. So my family, you know, I'm going to be amiable for a year. My, you know, the last year and this year, I'm going to go ahead and be expressive for a year. And so there is a shift. If there is a shift in energy, it is important. Like if you used to be very compliant and people could pretty much say or do anything and you just kind of let them be, you know, yeah, whatever. And you change, you alter your energy base, and you're like, yeah, I'm not going to put up with that anymore. if you alter your energy base, you probably are not going to do it effectively because you're not gifted naturally in that. It's like you're really good with, you're really good with, let's say you're really good with a baseball bat, but when you get a tennis racket, you're not so good with that. And so it's going to take a while for you to gain skills, so you're going to overreact, you're going to misuse it. In addition to other people aren't going to like some parts of it. So they're going to like other parts, but they won't like some parts. And so you just, I think you just warn them, and you just tell them, hey, I'm learning a lot about personalities. I'm going to shift my personality. People are like, well, that's not really possible. You're like, okay, and then laugh. And then when you shift and they get mad at you, say, huh, I guess you were wrong. I guess you can change personalities, can't you? And it's like, and so you help them to see what's coming down. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. You won't know until you actually try it. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, these people would have, they have no idea about personality masteries or anything like that.
Well, you might need to explain it to them. You go through and say, okay, here's the four shapes, here's the four things, okay, this is the big picture. So, or have them go on the video, and if they're not interested, I mean, if your energy shifting is making their life, it will make their life change. You can't change somebody else, but when you change your energy, it will change somebody else. And so if they're not interested in learning about it, before you change, while you're changing, after you change, they're going to be very interested in that.
Yeah. As long as they could be ready for my differences in the meantime.
And the key is to work as best as you can to control those and not to allow them to control you. And that's, I think, one of the hardest things to do.
Hmm. Okay.
Ginger Ann, any other questions you have?
No, I think that was it.
Teresa, anything else?
That is plenty for my day.
All right, if you're listening to the rebroadcast, you say, is Josh with us today, Ginger Ann?
He is.
Josh, didn't mean to miss you. Way to go ahead and hold up the male side. The males are today, weak today. Anything you'd like to accomplish today, Josh?
I don't have anything in particular today. I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed just trying to stay afloat. I think Ginger's question kind of alluded to my feelings recently.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't have more time. Dwight's going to be jumping on here for our China call in a moment, and so I may ask him, because my mind is swimming. I'm so close to breakthroughs in a number of different things. Like one of those things is when people project onto you what's in their own heart. You know, I think I'm close to a breakthrough there. I'm also working on when people know they're epically failing. So they know they're epically failing in a particular area in their life, but then they won't change. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, so it's like, okay, so if you're epically failing financially, don't you think you ought to listen to some input? So if somebody's epically failing financially, relationally, morally, spiritually, if they're epically failing, why won't they listen to somebody else? And there's tons of examples, personal and professional, that are there. And I'm trying to build a model to help individuals, and it connects back into the game of chess. It connects back into the tipping point. It connects back into acceleration process. It's you know, all of those. So, anyways, we'll pick that up at another session. Appreciate each of you being here today. And you guys have a really blessed day.
Thanks, you too.
All right, we'll see you. Bye.
Yep, bye.
Hey, Dwight, how you doing?
Hello, Mark. Are you ready?
Just about. The media team's getting everything, I think. Oh, wow, they were fast on that. All right, they are giving me thumbs up. Here we go. We'd like to welcome each and every individual to the Vision Project. Hi, my name is Mark Borsma, president of Synergy Solutions, along with my good friend Dwight, and we are in for another great session on, as it relates to some of the things that we're talking about, people and human behavior and really connecting into cross-culture, and we talk a lot about China and the differences in culture. And so if you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. If you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Dwight's got an amazing special gift for you that he'll share at the end of today's session. So you'll definitely want to take him up on that gift session. Very, very powerful. Dwight, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I'd like to share about or talk about one expression of a fundamental idea of my philosophy. I mean, the first idea of my philosophy of life is that remember, create, and believe that the world is your playground. Know that everyone is your playmate or partner or potential playmate partner. Everything and everyone was designed just for you for fun, play, adventure, curiosity, and self-expression. And so, but one particular way to express that is through choosing courage to approach people in that manner. For example, one time when I lived in Arizona, I played this sort of a game with myself where I would go down to the nearest Asian restaurant, and I'd get my food on my tray, and then I'd look at all around the restaurant, all the people sitting by themselves. And I asked, let's say there were six people, and I say to myself, which of these six people am I most frightened of approaching? And then I'd go up to them, and I'd say, hi, my name is Dwight. I eat here often. I thought I'd be much more interesting to learn about somebody new than sit by myself. How would you feel about that? So at that time, that was a fair level of courage for me to choose. But it was treating, you know, that person as my potential, just part of my playground, if you will, you know. And I did that with a total of, I kept track, a total of 23 different people over 23 different luncheons, and I got 18 yeses and 5 noes.
Wow.
And had some great conversations. But after doing that 23 different times, Mark, then it was still fun, but it was, there was no more courage involved with me doing that.
Right.
So then I started approaching tables where two or more people were sitting.
Right.
And there was this one table where these two women, they said yes, but I think they sort of reluctantly said yes. Maybe they weren't choosing courage to say no, you know. And I sat down with them. But have you ever been in one of those conversations where it just feels like your words are just dropping to the floor? You just can't get get it going.
Right.
And so that's how it felt. But finally, I decided to tell them about the game I was playing. And they happened to be the guinea pigs for the day. And then the conversation loosened up. But it turned out that these two women were psychiatric social workers from a nearby hospital.
Okay.
And so I think they were saying, did this man escape from our ward, you know? So,
right.
But you know, standing in line at a bank and turning to the person next to you and say, you know, what do you like about standing in line and getting a conversation going, or going into a restaurant, you know, I've gone into several restaurants and I get my food, and then I approach a table where it looks like there might be some interesting people and said, I know it's a little bit presumptuous here, but do you mind if I join you and see if we might enjoy a conversation together? But just treating the world as your plate. And I know we have, most of us have a built, you know, a pretty big fear about doing that. And yet it's clearly a paper tiger fear. You know, there's no, if you look, there's no danger. I mean, the worst thing that can happen is they'll say no, right?
Right. Right.
What are your thoughts or feelings or feedback on that?
You know, like that would be, you know, that, like, socially, I am definitely not naturally outgoing. I love people. I just don't like to be around them. And,
oh, okay. All right.
And so, you know, and so, I don't know. I mean, you know, I can see where it'd be a lot of fun. I can see where it'd be a lot of, you know, I think because I've thought about this a lot, like one of the reasons that I don't engage in people because I look for deep relationships, and I talk to a lot of people over the phone, and so I've learned. You know, I had an executive assistant. I think I might have shared this before. I had four executive assistants, and three of them were in their 20s, mid-20s, and one was in her early 30s. And one in particular, she seemed to really connect energetically with me. I mean, it was like, you know, it's like, I mean, they went ahead and multiple people, like we'd be out and multiple people come up and say, you know, how long have you guys been married? So there was something just energetically that connected us, and she had her master's degree in psychology. She was very, very attractive, very outgoing socially, and she would go ahead, and it was funny because she would say, you know, Mark, you're like the most unassuming guy. You'll just sit at a table, and she was like used to getting all the attention because she's smart, she's outgoing, she's very attractive. Very bubbly personality. People are just drawn to her. And so I remember once we did a lot of business travel together, and once we were at an airport and some guy came up to her and he gave her his card and he says, you know, if you're ever interested in modeling, you know, I'd love to go ahead and, you know, give me a call. And it was interesting to see her response. And so her response was like, she just threw the card away, and I'm like, so what, how do you feel about that? And she's like, you know, he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know anything about me. I mean, she was kind of almost put off by it, almost like that had happened so many times to her that it just had no impact, where maybe people that hadn't had it happen to them,
right,
you know, it'd be like, oh, wow, what a great compliment. But for her, it was nothing. But what would be interesting is she would go up and do what you're talking about. I mean, she would go out, and there was this, you know, gentleman probably in his 70s, you know, and so she's 24, you know, and there's a gentleman in his 70s, and she just started, I mean, she just started to, you know, she just went out and started dancing with the guy. And she would walk up to total strangers. And so, like I learned a lot from her about so many different things about human behavior. And that's what she would do too, is she would go ahead and take the hardest person in a group, and then she would go ahead and, you know, connect with that person purposely to just, I don't know, open him up, open her up, connect, you know. And so I don't know what to think of that. I don't even know how to respond. I've seen the power of it. For me, I think one of the things that I look at is deep relationships. Like I found, she said, you know, what's amazing about you, Mark, is you just, you're unassuming, you sit at the table, and within 10, 15 minutes, you've got every single person hanging on everything you're saying. And so I think she was intrigued by my ability to engage and create curiosity and draw people in, and then all of a sudden it would draw other people in. And so, you know, I'd just be standing around and somebody would come up and then I'd talk to them, and then all of a sudden it would attract three or four more people, and then it'd attract 10 more people, and before you know it, there's a whole bunch of people standing around me. So for me, you know, I think there's, I don't know if there's a fear, but there's a capacity issue. Like I'm like, I'm not going to have one conversation. If I'm going to talk to somebody, it's going to be like a lifelong relationship.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means. It is interesting. I talked to somebody this last week, and she was intriguing. And she works in the military with military personnel that have substance abuse. And so she's got her master's degree in psychology. And I told her, I said, I may be the, you know, only person on the planet that's chosen to be bipolar. And most of the time when I say that, especially with people who are trained in psychology, most of the time they say, well, that's not possible, or nobody would do that. But she didn't. She said, oh, that's possible. You can do that. I'm like, really? We had the most intriguing conversation. She said at the end, she said, you know, it's so cool to talk to somebody that shares similar philosophies as mental health as I do, because very few people seem to see the same things that you and I see. There was really amazing connection. So, I don't know if any of that makes sense, or if that was even answering the
question. It's just, and of course, you know, doing what the type of thing I do would depend upon your inclination. I just love discovering new people, and if we only connect for, I usually like to exchange emails, but if we only connect for 2 minutes, that's 2 minutes of connecting with another person on this planet, you know. Otherwise, could have just gone by and each of us standing there, you know.
My dad was like you.
Okay.
My dad is like you. He was raised in Wisconsin, and you know, pretty much most his life. And when we moved to Chicago, you know, he still acted like he was in Wisconsin. And it didn't matter where we went, you know, everybody was his friend, and he would strike up a conversation with anybody at any time, anywhere he was at. You know, very different than my personality, and very different maybe than socially is normal in some, you know, in some cities.
Well, see, there are people, maybe like you, it just doesn't hold any interest, but there's so many people that actually would enjoy a conversation with the person standing next to them, or would enjoy going and sitting down at a table in a restaurant instead of sitting by themselves, you know. But it's actually going to be a choice of courage to do that, and a view that, hey, life is my playground. And so that's the point that I'm making. And for some people, you know, they prefer to sit by themselves,
right.
Or they, and it's not just an issue of fear. It's just like, even if they had no fear whatsoever to approach another person, they still wouldn't want to, you know.
Well, it's interesting because Ted McGrath, he was out, he and I were at an event. I don't know that I had known him before then. I might have met him then. And we were speaking, and afterwards we went out to dinner, and I don't know, there were 15 or 20 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned this in another session too, but he and I were talking, engaged in a really, you know, awesome conversation. And he said, "You really enjoy this type of thing, going out and connecting." And I said, "No, actually, Ted, I don't." And I was probably late 30s. He's probably early 20s. And so he said, "You know, you really enjoy this." I said, "No, I really don't." He said, "No, you really do." I said, "No, I really don't." And finally, and we're going back, and I'm like, "Okay, fine. Maybe he knows something about me that I don't know."
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "So why do you say that you think I really like this?" He said, mm-hmm. "Because you're enjoying this conversation with me so much." And I said, "Well, I do, but normally I don't." He said, "Do you know why?" I said, "No." He said, "See, normal people, when they get together, talk about insignificant things that don't have significance. And what you don't want to do is you don't like to talk to people about insignificant things. And that's mostly what happens socially."
True.
Which is why you don't like normal social situations, because it's so surfacey, it's so temporal, that it's like, you know what, I don't need the temporal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need the temporal. You want to go ahead. I mean, if you're going to have temporal things, just spend the time with yourself. And another guy, Dave Libby, is interesting. Years ago, he said to me, he said something very profound. He said, "You know, what's interesting, Mark, is you're very different than most people. You love people. You just don't like them. Most people like people, but they just don't love them."
What you're saying stimulates something to realize something I do. I mean, when I'm talking to that person in the restaurant, I guide the conversation so it gets very deep very quickly.
Yes.
So I don't like the small chat too. I mean, I can do it for about 30 seconds and then I'll lead the conversation so that it goes and so that we're both enjoying it, but we're talking about deep stuff. You know, I've had several people tell me by the end of one visit with me that they felt like I knew them better than anybody in their whole life knew them.
Right. Yeah, me too. See, the thing that you're better at than I am is, I think my perception is that you can let something go with a person, and I have a hard time doing that.
What do you mean by let something go? I'm not quite clear about that.
Like if you just had a conversation, a deep conversation with somebody, you know, if you exchange emails, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. And you just leave, and you're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
With me, I'm not.
You feel like you need to really follow up with them and engage with them?
People are going to find the most interest in you is if you reveal something deep about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I will, through a series of questions, bring very, very, very deep about themselves. And that's what attracts other people, because they're not used to, like, deep, intense conversations. And so everybody wants it, but nobody knows how to get there. Nobody has the courage to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So with me, it's like, well, if I'm gonna be in a situation where I need to talk, it's going to probably be deep, and it's going to have significance. And then that draws a lot of other people in. So what I do is I'll find out, you know, through the personalities, I know their strengths and weaknesses, what they like, what they don't, turns them on, turns them off. I have a pretty good idea where their marriage at. I mean, I know more about them, like you say. I know more about them than they know about themselves. Then I'll find out very quickly, because I reveal and open them up so much, they're like, he already knows everything about me, so I might as well tell him the rest of the story.
Okay.
And so they tell me that, you know, that they're having challenges with their mom or their dad or their brothers or sisters or they hate their job, they tell me something of significance about themselves that they may have never told anybody in their life.
Right.
And so then I think, okay, if I know this information, if I know somebody's hurting, it's morally wrong to not help them, and so I need to help them.
Mm.
And to help them have significant change, I probably need to go ahead and connect with them on a regular basis.
Right.
And so it's so I know what's probably going to happen. And so, you know, so I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, it makes sense. I guess I have a little, yeah, I'm able to, like, I have to just accept or be with it. Maybe I'll only have 15 minutes with a person, but somehow they touch me in the 15 minutes, and hopefully I'll even touch them more in that 15 minutes, and that may be all I have with them in this lifetime. But that's, I'm blessed by that.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, that's something that you're stronger at than I am, because, like, if I say that was an amazing conversation, I want more of an amazing conversation. Like, it's never never good enough for me. You know, it's never, there's never enough. It's like this addictive, I told this lady, I said, when I was probably, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old, I realized that I had a massively addictive personality. And just huge. And so I said, I can never touch coffee. I can never taste alcohol. I can never do a drug, ever, ever, not even one time. So I'm 50 years old, and I've never had a drink of coffee in 50 years. And
wow.
Never will. Unless
okay.
Maybe I'm on my deathbed. Then maybe
all
I
right.
would.
Then you say, okay. Time
you know, it's
is
like, well, if
I
get addicted, it'll be for what, 15 minutes?
right, yes. Well, I'm it's interesting. I've got some pretty long-term friends. You know, my longest-term friend I know from high school. But my assistant even said this about me yesterday. I'm sort of a new person addict.
That's cool.
I told you about my program called Strangers into Friends and Evening with Dwight.
Yes. Yes.
Like tonight, I have two strangers coming to visit me. Tomorrow night, I've got one stranger. Thursday night, I've got another stranger. And Friday night, I've got two more strangers coming to visit me, you know. And it's just so exciting for me, you know. And some of them, it'll probably be the only time I ever see them, you know. But
yeah,
others will.
That young lady that I was talking about, my executive assistant, that's how she was. Like, her energy reminds me a lot of your energy. A lot.
But just, and yeah, and you have to, like, at first I was thinking, well, maybe Mark's an introvert, but I don't think you're an introvert. But it's funny why you say you don't like people. I would never think of you as not liking people.
I don't like the messiness of people. I don't like when Tony Pyrus, a good friend of mine, he says, you know, he'd get I don't know, something when I'd say I hate when people are stupid. He's like, Mark, they're not stupid, they're just unaware. And I'm like, I don't know, I sometimes think they're stupid, Tony. And so, so the nuances of people, there's a lot about people that, like, when people are hurting themselves, I hate that. When people don't get their potential, I hate that. When people make the same mistake over and over again, I hate that. And so, like, you know, I own a consulting coaching firm, and I asked our executive coaches a number of years ago, I said, what's one suggestion you would give to me?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them said, my suggestion to you, Mark, is that you'd care less about people.
Uh-huh.
And I knew exactly what she meant. Because I care so much about people, it's like, you know, it's like I take everything, you know, I take everything as like they're one of my children or one of my friends or, you know, one of my, you know, one of the people. It's like my youngest brother said, you know, I don't know, a couple of years ago, he's like, Mark, it's like, you think you can change everybody on the planet. Things like, you think you can help everybody in the world, like every single person.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah. Is there a problem with that? So I know you got to run here in a couple minutes, right?
Yes.
Okay. So this has been a great session. Dwight, what gift do you have for those participating today?
Yes, I would. I would like you to call me. Let me give you the number: 206-923-9554. 206-923-9554. And we'll set up a 1 hour gift coaching, a consulting session at a time convenient to you, where I'll ask you to bring some issue, problem, or goal that's big enough so that if we had a major impact on it in that 1 hour, it would be life-changing for you. And there's no cost and no obligation, and it'd be my honor and pleasure to have this gift session with you.
Nice, nice. Excellent. Dwight, any other comments or closing thoughts or words of wisdom or questions for me or anything?
Nothing quite so big. I just noticed when you share about yourself, it just always, you know, reflects back on how I'm sort of how we're different, you know. And I noticed that I've been a life coach now for 27 years, and I have almost always more energy after a session with a client than
right.
before.
Right.
And I never get burned out.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if they're complaining the whole session. I just have fun with their complaining. You know, people don't occur to me as stupid. They just occur as hurting, or they occur as confused, or whatever, you know. And I figure my job is to help them have fun with that, you know. And I don't know how much impact I'll end up having on the world, but I'm going to have fun doing it.
Right. Well, I was just relating to a previous group that I was on with when mm-hmm. I was going to Atlanta, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
every month to shoot a series of TV shows. Ruth King, who owns a TV studio there, mm-hmm. in one of the break, you know, one of the sessions between the shoots. And she and I went on a walk, and she said to me, she said, Mark, I have a weird question for you. And I'm like, okay, yeah, shoot, go ahead. She says, what happens when you lose control?
Mm.
And I'm like, well, that's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we talked, I told her, I said, well, in answer to your question, I don't remember the last time that I lost control. But I can't imagine. It would be a pretty ugly situation if I did.
Okay.
And so I think there's a tremendous amount of energy that, you know, that maybe everybody has. There's a lot of energy I have. And if I put that into really good things, you know, then there's spectacular things that happen. And if I put it into not so good things, well, then there's some not so good things that'll happen. And so how, you know, like yours and my energy, it connects. It's very different. There's something of a core connection there.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be intriguing. it would be intriguing to find out what that core connection was and how to transplant that into other people. So,
okay. All right.
Like a genetic engineering process.
All right. Well, I'm not too interested in clones of myself.
See, I don't think it's because you and I are about as different as we could be.
In a lot of respects, yes.
I mean, we're just
we're very similar too. I think we both share a similar spirit about the world, or optimistic spirit or something.
Yeah, I don't look at it as cloning myself or cloning you.
Okay. All right.
Because I think you and I are very, very different, and that's the part in that difference is there, you know, is real beauty. But the thing that is similar in us that connect us so much together, that's the part I think we need to clone. Not because it's you or me. It's because it has...
That we can find beauty in our differences.
Well, it's find beauty in our differences or find... like taking ownership of something, okay? Well, every person on the planet would benefit from that. Or, you know, not taking personal offense. If somebody says, Dwight, you're an idiot, you're like, oh, interesting. How do you see that? You know, there's no defensiveness. It's just energy is what it is. And so there's something I don't think that, you know, I don't think it's just with you and I, of course, but I do think it's very unique. And I think if every person on the planet had that kind of a perspective, that their lives would be better as a result of it. Like there's things that you are like you, and I'm totally different than you. One's not better than another. They're different, but it's not better than another. But there are some core things, I believe, that you and I possess that if every person on the planet possessed those same things, everyone's life would be better as a result of it. I don't know.
Could be. It could be, and we have to just decide what those core things would be, yes.
So maybe in future sessions we could look at some.
All right.
Thanks so much for being on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll see you. Bye-bye. If you are listening to the rebroadcast of this, you can go to thevisionproject.net. That's thevisionproject.net. And go to relationships, and then go to China, and you'll see all the past sessions that that Dwight and I have recorded together. Share these with other individuals. You know, as we help other people reach beyond their dreams and goals, they help us together. We can accomplish so much more than we ever could on our own. And so hopefully this has been beneficial to you. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. God bless, and have a great day. Bye-bye.